All right, it is Friday. Feeling good. It's hot. We got a hot one coming, that is for sure. As often happens on a Friday night, there's all sorts of news that's sort of breaking over the last half hour. Remember that news update earlier this week that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was taking COVID shots off of the childhood vaccine schedule? New York Times reporting in the last couple minutes that the CDC sort of backtracked on that. The memo that... So earlier this week, I mean, this is sort of the Trump tango, isn't it? Where you get word that they're doing something, and then they change their mind. There's going to be a tariff, then they change their mind. Trump is talking right now, President Trump, in Pennsylvania, and he just announced 50% tariffs on imported steel. So tariffs are in, then they're out, then they're back. COVID shots for youngsters, they're out, now they're back. The new advice is that healthy children, in consultation with their doctor, can get the shot. The practical ramification of that is that insurance will likely continue to cover the vaccine for children. Still questions about what the reality is going to be for pregnant women, but a quick retreat, which is something that we've sort of gotten used to. 38 million low-income children rely on the Vaccine for Children program, which is a federal program. And so children now will be able, or still will be able, to get the vaccine if their doctor and if their parent thinks it's a good idea. It is 5:10. It's time for the D-Rush Hour News headlines.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the DeRush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And our lead story is a governor with presidential ambitions, apparently, and a legislature that has yet to make a deal. Blois Olson is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And Blois is here with some, really no real update from the legislature. Is there, Blois?
Well, Jason, behind the scenes, there's a tax bill that apparently has been released that makes nobody happy, which I think might be the final theme of this legislative session, if they ever ended, is that with everything being this close and a governor who is, you know, probably is stuck a little between the left on his party and a tied House, may not have as much leverage as a traditional governor. So I'm still getting details of this tax bill, but a lot of things are not in the bill.
Do you think the governor hitting the road and doing sort of the presidential national stage dance that he's doing, I guess what's your take on that? My impression has been that he's been more involved in this process, perhaps out of necessity, since the House and the Senate are so deadlocked on numbers. But what's your take on that, on his involvement?
Look, I think he's been involved. I think he's gotten people together. I think it's part of it's because, remember, at the beginning of the session, he wasn't around. That's when he went on his tour. This weekend, look, he's in South Carolina today. He'll speak there tomorrow. Then he'll fly to California. So coast-to-coast weekend at both state conventions. South Carolina, obviously a key Democratic state in the primary process. Look, any politician would take the invitations for the national stage right now. And so it's not that. It's whether or not he actually has a strategy for 2028 when he's got a re-election to deal with in 2026.
What is, if you had to forecast whether there was going to be a budget deal in time to avoid layoffs, I mean, we still have, what, a couple weeks for that? But what's your thought?
Well, layoff notices go out Monday. But, I mean, basically, if they get a deal done by June 30th, they avoid layoffs.
They'll be fine,
so,
yeah.
I think that's where the real deadline is. But the Nicole Mitchell trial starts June 16th. Then they lose a senator, which then brings the Senate back to a tie. So like everything, Jason, it's Minnesota politics. Anything can happen.
Unbelievable. Blois Olson joining us with a drive time take from the golf course. How's it going out there today?
You know, it's okay. We're down a couple, but there's still some room left.
All right.
I gotta make some putts.
Get rallying.
All right.
Thanks, boys.
See you, Jason.
Let's go to the zoo for our second story. I mean, honestly, we go from the figurative zoo to the literal zoo. The Minnesota Zoo is having a grand opening of a new habitat for red pandas. It has been years since there has been a red panda at the Minnesota Zoo. The last red panda, a 10-year-old panda named Min, died in 2021. But now on the Northern Trail at the zoo, tomorrow, a grand opening for the red panda forest habitat. Let's go to Dr. Annie Rivas, who is with the Minnesota Zoo. She's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. And how big of a deal is this for the zoo, Annie?
We are very excited to be opening Red Panda Forest. It is the first time we're going to have red pandas at the zoo since 2021, and they're in a brand new habitat designed just for them. But we're also bringing in two new species, our red crowned crane and tufted deer. So it's really been a ton of work, and we can't wait to show it off to everyone.
Now, as the director of animal health, I know, like, obviously you want this to be a good experience for me and other Minnesotans and people from Wisconsin who come to check out the zoo. But we care about the animals, too, clearly. Setting up an exhibit to make sure that these species do well. Give me a sense of how much work goes into it.
Yes, this has been a huge project with a bunch of people involved. Obviously, our animal care staff, so our keepers, our curators, folks on the animal health team like myself, but also our exhibit and design staff, our project managers, so our horticulture team have all done inputs on this to make sure it meets all the animal needs, and it's going to be a great experience for our guests.
Now, these species do well in the cold. Red pandas do well in the cold. They're native to China and the Himalayas, that area, right?
Correct. Yep. The red pandas and our deer and cranes that are in there all come from that area.
So how do they do in the summer? I mean, this weekend it's going to be around 80 degrees. How do you design an exhibit that works for our Minnesota cold and our Minnesota hot?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things we're excited about is this is the red pandas most recently were in our tropic building, so they did not get to experience our Minnesota winters, which for the most part is really great for them. They really tend to do well in winter and even enjoy playing in the snow. But summer is more challenging. And so we have spent a lot of time designing the habitat to help keep it cool for them in the summer. So there's abundant shade from all the trees in the area. We've also installed a misting system that will naturally cool, kind of like a giant outdoor air conditioning. And then they have a couple of dens on habitat that also have air conditioning pumped into them. So they have the choice of using multiple spaces at different temperature zones within the habitat, depending on how they're feeling when they're outside during the day.
Oh, that's so cool. Hope people can get out and see it. I know the animals are ready to see everybody, right?
They are. We are so excited for the guests to get to experience it. We're so excited to see these animals, enjoy these spaces we've designed for them. Can't wait to see how it goes.
Pretty good. Dr. Annie Rivas, Director of Animal Health at Minnesota Zoo. Annie, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great conversation. Those pandas are so cute. All right, one more story in the lead, and this is something else. The most expensive house in Minnesota is now on the market. It is listing at not $10 million, not $20 million. It is listing at $55 million. The Minnesota Star Tribune with that story posting online this afternoon. 8 acres, 655 feet of Lake Minnetonka shoreline. This is a home that has never been lived in. It's pretty interesting because it was built for a businessman who suddenly died. And so no one has lived in this house. It is available. You know, this is Chad Hartman kind of money. $55 million. You look at this, it's sort of astonishing to think, who on earth can afford this? And like, what are you going to do with a house that's that big? It's so big. It is 28,000 square feet. It originally went on the market for $68 million. So, you know, it's taken a $13 million haircut. That makes it maybe a little more appealing, 19% discount. But this house has pretty much everything. And there's a fancy video that they produced to try to show it off. It's got 7 private bedroom suites, 2 2,000 square foot guest houses, a main dock with a boathouse. It's got a salt, like a Himalayan salt cave. The current sales record in Minnesota is $17 million, but that is misleading. There are other sales that have happened privately and don't end up in public records. There are many homes along the shores of Lake Minnetonka with a value of more than $25 million, some that are pushing 50, but this would be unreal, $55 million. If any of you buy this thing, like, invite me and Dan to come and hang out. It looks amazing. It looks amazing.
I mean, apparently there's room.
Should I act like every, like, Minnesota, like, mom talking about this story when they hear about it? Well, I just don't know if I'd want to clean all those rooms. That's a lot of vacuuming to do. I'm guessing you don't have to worry about it. I'm guessing you don't have to worry.
We'll buy you a Roomba as a housewarming gift.
The hilarious thing about this video, and we're streaming it on YouTube right now, is they hired all these actors to, like, come and work out in the home's gym and go, you know, drive up in Porsches and luxury cars and Maseratis and
like
all this
do.
Stuff. But you're like, do the people come with the house? Like, all the fancy-looking people? I suppose if you could afford a $55 million house, you could also afford to hire a bunch of actors to come and hang out with you. That is the Dear Rush Hour News headlines. The lead, page 2, is coming your way in just a minute. I've got a bit of a potty story for you coming up. Crispin Green with some changes, and the American penny, they're going to stop making it, but so what's going to happen? Like, it's not like the penny's going anywhere. We'll talk about that next. Dear Rush Hour News headlines here on CCO, and we begin with the New York Times, a story about, well, it's a little bit of a potty story because not even tariffs are going to stop the advance of one of Japan's most, well, interesting exports.
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow.
Oh, God, Jesus, what the f*** is going on?
Oh, my God, what is this?
Yeah.
It's the Japanese toilet with the bidet. I'm going to be honest, I love a bidet, you know? You got to be careful, though. My wife bought me a bidet attachment because I was bidet curious. They're very popular around the world, and a friend of mine swore by it. So I got the bidet attachment to my toilet. And Dan, it is different from the fancy Toto, T-O-T-O brand Japanese toilet.
Is this one of the ones where you hook it into the water system
that's
that comes
right
into the tank of the toilet?
Yes.
Sure. So then that's going to be cold water coming up there.
You better believe it. And so if I'm feeling a little tired,
that'll wake you up.
Just a little, ooh, ooga, like a little startling. Toto, we're allowed to talk about the toilet on the radio program, right?
To a degree.
So these Toto toilets, first of all, they're beautiful, if a toilet can be beautiful. You see them in fancy hotels. You see them in, well, probably that $55 million home on Lake Minnetonka.
You would think.
Toto washlets have become a bit of a social media phenomenon. In fact, in 2022, the rapper Drake gave DJ Khaled, first he gave him one Toto, and you know what DJ Khaled said. Another one! And then they gave him another one. And then he said, another one. That's a very good DJ Khaled joke. He gave him four.
I'm sure the
Toto's.
Audience is roaring.
That's a very good DJ Khaled joke. Toto's washlet. Would you want a bidet?
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't know?
I don't know. I've never
tried
one. Yeah. I mean.
So in these nice bidets?
Yeah.
The water spray is kept at a precise 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit, a temperature the company describes as, quote, warm but not surprising.
I'm thinking any kind of water shooting up there is going to be surprising
you
to
think?
A certain level, you know?
Warm but not surprising. That's going to be my new tagline for just this show, I think. Drive Time with DeRussia. Warm but not surprising.
I'm trying to impress people here, Lisa. You don't win friends with salad.
Crispin Green is about to unveil some new menus and new goals as well. They want to be more than salad, which makes sense because how often do you want a salad? Founder Steele Smiley is back in the CEO role 2 years after stepping away. Allie Kaplan at Twin Cities Business writing about this Twin Cities restaurant. Pretty interesting. Steele's a fascinating dude. He founded Steele Fitness. And back in the day, there was no such thing as a boutique gym, and Steele was one of the first in that space. Crispin Green was very ambitious, focused squarely on salads. But they've added in wraps, and Allie reports that they're getting ready to introduce a new menu. So modernized store design, updated uniforms, and they're buying back their companies. So remember, there was Chris Humphreys was one of the people who bought the rights to franchise some of these. Steele is buying back a bunch of the companies, so the corporate office will own it. And restaurant analysts have said that is actually a sign of trust in the brand and health. So we'll see. Crispin Green was founded in 2016, and it's on a winning streak, six consecutive quarters of same store sales growth. The American penny, it's not going anywhere soon. CNN.com with a really interesting story addressing a question that I was wondering about is what's going to happen. We know that the Treasury Department is winding down production of the 1 cent coin. It's been minting a 1 cent coin for 230 years, but the penny will still be legal. They're not making it like, oh, now it's illegal. They're just not going to make it anymore. So can you spend it? Yes. Are restaurants or stores going to price things to the penny still? Probably not. In Canada, the first year after they stopped making pennies, there was really no change. According to the National Association of Convenience, no change. I didn't even mean to do that. Convenience stores do more cash transactions than anybody else. So they said in Canada, it didn't really matter. But then after that, places just rounded up their prices. So there are about 114 billion pennies in circulation. Can you believe that? 114 billion pennies. And where are they? They're all in a jar in the corner of your family room. All of them. So if people would be spending the pennies, I don't know, I'd probably thrown mine out. What do you do with pennies? 531, that's the D-Rush Hour. News headlines in just a minute. Dan Hayes will join us. We will take the temperature of the Minnesota Twins, get some updates. There is good news for Byron Buxton fans. We'll talk about that in just a minute.